If the world seems to be ever more chaotic, you are not imagining it. Getting your financial affairs in order is essential. That is what a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap will do for you. Combining lifetime income with Stanford University recommended RIGs and tactical portfolio strategies to help you address inflation, we can help you weather this instability. Go to csrp.info for an appointment. And remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA/SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products, which are backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Hey, and welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. Yep, I know it's Thursday, but I've got Friday off. I'm actually headed to a national debate forum my kids are taking part in, so I won't be here on Friday, so I decided to go ahead and record it for you. I'm also one of these weird people who get winter allergies really bad, so please forgive the way that my voice sounds. Let's dive right in to insane thing number 5. Congress makes a series of bombshell admissions about COVID that they themselves would have been censored for had they said any of them on their social media accounts back during COVID. The bombshells were buried in the House Select Committee's subcommittee on the coronavirus pandemic, in which Congress admitted for the first time that the COVID virus had a biological characteristic that is not found in nature. Well, there's been a lot of suppositions about the likelihood that the virus was created in the Wuhan lab. This is the first real admission from our government that this virus didn't just, you know, get collected, get stored improperly, leak out of the lab. This virus was made in the lab. It couldn't have been created in nature. That's a pretty big deal to me because I lost a YouTube account over that. You know, if you get 3 strikes on YouTube for saying what always turn out to be true things, you lose the account. Yeah, well, that was exactly what I said to get my second 9-month strike on YouTube. I was taken off YouTube for 9 months for saying that the virus was manufactured in the Wuhan lab. After my 3rd strike for, by the way, ironically, another COVID truth that turned out to be correct, they permanently locked down my YouTube channel. So if you go look for me on YouTube, you'll actually find 2 channels, the lockdown one and the new one I've launched since then. And if you watch me, you know, my Rumblecast, you'll notice I never promote YouTube. That's because I don't want to teach you guys to go there because they'll end up taking it for me saying true things. The government would prefer you not know. But here's the crazy part about this. When you read this report, you realize something. We now know for a fact that the FBI censored on behalf of the NIH, the FDA, the CDC, all of these things about COVID. And 100% of the things they censored, we know this from the Twitter files and from the censorship court case currently before the Supreme Court, Missouri v. Biden, 100% of what the FBI censored was true. In other words, they weren't just trying to get it right, weren't just trying to combat misinformation and save lives. Everything they censored 100% without exception was true. Folks, at that point, that's not a bunch of guys trying to do their best in a pandemic. That's a cover-up operation. If Congress is just now admitting that, and I still can't believe this, the COVID virus had a biological characteristic that is not found in nature, quote unquote, the FBI knew it the whole time they were censoring it. So did the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH. The implications here are staggering, especially when you put them with another admission in the same report that all COVID-19 cases stem from a single introduction to humans. In other words, it had to have been created in the Wuhan lab. Folks, put that bombshell with the Japanese study that we had about a year ago about Omicron, which found that it too could not have occurred in nature. In other words, it too came from a lab. And ask yourself, what in God's name happened here? The report also acknowledges unequivocally for the first time that the National Institutes of Health, that's the agency that did the grants for Fauci, was in fact doing gain of function research at the Wuhan lab. In other words, teaching viruses to become more deadly and to jump from human to human. Viruses that otherwise wouldn't have done that. When you put this together, folks, with the fact that the Wuhan lab was known to the world for a very long time before it was famous for COVID as a Chinese People's Liberation Army bioweapons research facility, you've got to ask, what the heck was going on here? Why would Anthony Fauci send $6 million and assist Echo Health Alliance in transferring gain-of-function technology to the Chinese? They didn't have it before. Why would the Pentagon pump $40 million into the lab? And do you remember the propaganda? How the media in the beginning would go wild if you called it the Wuhan virus, screaming, yelling, calling you a racist? Well, the whole time our government had to know it didn't occur in nature, had to know it didn't come from those bat caves, had to know it was manufactured. Also in the report were admissions that masks don't work and never did work, that social distancing was never based on science. In fact, the report actually reads, quote, during closed door testimony, Dr. Anthony Fauci testified that the guidance, i.e. social distancing, just sort of appeared. It wasn't based on science. Neither were lockdowns, which the report said were a disaster. They didn't work. They didn't stop the spread. The only thing they stopped the spread of was capitalism. The report notes that over 100,000 U.S. businesses were permanently destroyed by the lockdowns, it turns out, for no damn reason. COVID, by the way, was no more deadly for those under the age of 60 than a severe flu season. And we have one of those about every 10 years. So we racked up $13 trillion worth of debt and permanently destroyed over 100,000 businesses for absolutely no reason. Or maybe there really was a reason. I've always thought it was to destroy Trump's most potent weapon, our economy, to deny him a second term and, of course, get to the mass mail-in ballots that they needed to commit the fraud. We all know that's probably the case. But you know what's really weird? And this leads us to insane thing number four. What's really weird is what happened less than 48 hours after that report came out. Politico broke the news that Joe Biden is considering pardons for other people besides Hunter. We'll get to that story in a second. Namely, Anthony Fauci. Now, why would Dr. Anthony Fauci, who once called himself the living embodiment of science, need a pardon for crimes committed? And if he did commit crimes, why would the Biden administration pardon him? Why not allow him to be prosecuted for them? What is the Biden administration's interest in making sure he doesn't see the inside of a jail cell? Also on that list, according to Politico, is Liz Cheney and Adam Schiff, the architect of the Russia collusion hoax, at least in Congress. What's remarkable is this is a tacit admission by the Biden administration that all these people committed crimes when nobody publicly was really accusing them of crimes. Which brings us to the Hunter Biden pardon, which is historic for a lot of reasons. No other president has ever pardoned his son for a series of crimes, and no other president since the founding has ever granted a blanket pardon of this scope, stretching a full shocking 11 years. The largest pardon before that was granted by President Ford to President Nixon in 1974, covering the previous 5 years. The key difference here, though, is that Ford didn't participate in those crimes, and he certainly didn't profit from them. Biden did. According to IRS whistleblowers that just won't go away, the ones who were investigating the Biden bribes, $30 million worth of bribes from the communist Chinese that, yes, they say Joe Biden was the big guy and did take 10% of. That's what's so astonishing. Those whistleblowers came forward about 6 weeks ago, and they've been virtually blacked out in the media. I would bet that the vast majority of Democrats in this country have no idea the Biden family took $30 million in cash from the Chinese Communist Party, that Joe Biden, yes, was the big guy, that the money was laundered, and that nobody in the Biden family reported it to the IRS or paid taxes on it. That's felony tax evasion, money laundering, and bribery. Again, the reason we even know this is because the two IRS agents that were investigating it finally came forward. Before that, they say they were blocked by the FBI and the DOJ in order to protect Joe Biden.
Did President Biden financially benefit from his son's business deals?
This whole thing at the end of the day was about enriching a family, enriching the Biden family through access to an administration.
This is an August 2017 email from Hunter Biden, and he's talking about introductions for a Chinese energy firm.
He is literally laying out the agreement that it's $30 million he is being paid over a three-year period for introductions alone. That was definitely something that was of big concern, of ours.
This came as an absolute shock to the left, who has really no idea how corrupt their leadership is. In all seriousness, I think a lot of people expected, including me, I forecast on this podcast that Joe Biden would pardon his son, no matter how many times he promised he wouldn't before the election that he, by the way, thought he'd be running in. So I'm not surprised by the pardon. I don't think many other people are either. But what's shocked the left is that they've always considered the idea that Hunter Biden committed crimes as some sort of weird right-wing conspiracy theory. Everybody expected Joe Biden would come out and just pardon him on, you know, the stuff he's already charged on, the stuff we know about, the gun crimes. Maybe a couple of tax things. That's it. So the left was absolutely gobsmacked by the breadth of this. 11 full years, starting just months before Hunter Biden joined the board of Burisma in Ukraine, a job he was utterly unqualified to hold. But the really insane thing here is the shock of the left. Again, they thought this idea that Hunter had committed a lot of crimes was a right-wing conspiracy theory. At least that's what their media had told them. They thought Joe might be a little daft, but was basically a good guy. All of that was wiped away with this pardon. The fact that it covered 11 years. They truly had no idea. And this clip from one of the most popular liberal podcasts in America, Pod Save America, proves it. Every one of the people you're about to hear in this clip is a former high-ranking Barack Obama staffer. You'd think they'd know what's actually going on in their own party, but they don't seem to. This pardon has utterly shocked them.
Now everyone looks stupid. Everyone looks like they're full of and I think that's the piece of this I am most frustrated with, which is Joe Biden looking like a typical lying politician. And I think that leads to a cynical feeling that all politicians are bad and they're all the same and that this is just par for the course.
I feel like a fool, you know, that's what makes me mad about it.
Want to pause here and thank PhD Weight Loss for the 29 pounds I've lost, the 2 years I've kept it off, and sponsoring this podcast. This December only, Dr. Ashley Lucas, founder of PhD Weight Loss, is giving the first 100 people a free weight loss and energy supplement bundle when you come in for a free, no obligation consultation to find out about the plan. I've tried almost all of these supplements. They help curb cravings, stabilize blood sugar, make your weight loss journey easier so you can finally achieve your ideal weight. Again, during December, free to the first 100 who book a no-obligation consultation. And with PhD weight loss, there's no hunger, no drugs, no prescriptions, so no side effects and no deprivation, just real results. Give them a call, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900 or find them online, myphdweightloss.com. That's myphdweightloss.com. Now back to the podcast. And insane thing number three, which really could be called the power of X. Before X, Democrats didn't have to be accountable for things because their voters didn't know about them. So what happened over the weekend was truly remarkable. First, a U.S. Customs and Border Patrol report that never would have seen the light of day if it was up to the mainstream media went absolutely viral on X, trending along the side, and for good reason. The numbers in it were utterly shocking. 500,000 illegal immigrants currently reside in New York City. And of those, 58,000 either have criminal convictions in the United States of America or pending criminal charges. And a staggering 1,000 of those are known gang members. That would be a shocking snapshot of criminality and illegal immigration if those numbers were for the entire state of New York. But again, they're just for New York City. After a couple of days of that trending, longtime staunch sanctuary state defender, sanctuary city defender, Governor Kathy Hochul of New York suddenly flip-flopped and reversed her position on cooperating with ICE. Now, she's a good Democrat, so she's not up for helping ICE deport the 440,000 illegal immigrants in New York City without criminal records, but she did crack on the criminals and says she'll now part with them, that she and the state will cooperate with ICE to remove them. That's actually huge for the safety of Americans everywhere, because as we saw with Lake and Riley, illegal immigrants from New York don't tend to stay there after they commit crimes. And Kathy Hochul oversees the state prison system. And so up until now, what she'd been doing was shielding illegal immigrant criminals from deportation when they finished their sentences. In the past, when a criminal...
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Finished his sentence and was eligible for deportation. The state of New York refused to cooperate with ICE and refused to tell ICE when they were releasing said criminal. So the criminal was able to slip back out into the general population and rape, murder, and terrorize the general public again. Because Democrats love that kind of thing, don't kid yourself. Now Hochul says they'll be turned over to ICE. New York City Mayor Eric Adams quickly followed suit and broke with the Democrats and their national policy of sanctuary cities and states to protect illegal immigrants, yes, but also illegal immigrant criminals, vowing to cooperate with ICE and new border czar Tom Homan to deport at least the criminals. Insane thing number two is actually a series of insane things. Get a load of this stat. You know, the media was shocked over the weekend, last weekend, when it was announced that Trump was threatening 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada. They laughed at him. Canada? Really? 25% tariff on goods? If he doesn't stop the flow of illegals over the border, is he nuts? But here's the shocking stat they won't tell you. This just came out from U.S. Customs and Border Patrol as well. Nearly, get this, 90% of all terror suspects caught entering the U.S. across a land border came from, you'd think, Mexico, right? Nope. It's Canada. In 2024, they caught 358 individuals on the U.S. terror watch list at the Canadian border, compared to just 52 stopped at the Mexican border. And the year's not even over yet. Folks, in 2023, listen to this, they caught 564 people on the terror watch list at the Canadian land border. 86% of those caught that year. Okay, does that seem super weird to you? You know what it means? And if we had real intel agencies, we'd go dig this up. The Canadian government is deliberately letting known terror suspects into their country in what almost looks like a pipeline, so they can cross into our country. If they were coming through Mexico, where everybody knows it's a wide open border, it would look like an oopsie. Did they get in? But with Canada, it's absolutely deliberate. Folks, somebody is organizing this. This is a deliberate, organized movement of terrorists in the United States of America. For what? I don't know. but I have a feeling we're going to find out because I'm certain hundreds more made it in. Those were just who we caught. For comparison's sake, folks, during the Trump era, there were actually more people on the border, and yet only 6 terrorists were caught at the border total in his entire term. So, yeah, that's why Donald Trump threatened a 25% tariff on the Canadians. And by the way, it was hilarious watching Trudeau this week, the Prime Minister of Canada. Within 48 hours of that tariff threat, Trudeau had announced that his government planned a huge crackdown on border crossers, and he was seen down at Mar-a-Lago, where Trump essentially mocked him to his face, suggesting Canada become the 51st state of the United States of America. Here's Fox News reporter Peter Ducey describing that conversation. Based on 2 sources, he says, we're at the table.
From 2 people who were at the table, we are told that when Trudeau told President-elect Trump that new tariffs would kill the Canadian economy, Trump joked to him that if Canada can't survive without ripping off the U.S. to the tune of $100 billion a year, then maybe Canada should become the 51st state and Trudeau could become its governor. Brett.
And while Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum told the media that she wasn't going to comply with Trump's threats, she wasn't going to stop the illegal immigrant thundering herd from going over the border, she nevertheless has stopped 2 caravans this week and suddenly, out of nowhere, is able to make a record fentanyl bust, the largest in the country's history, with over, get this, a ton of the synthetic opioid seized in 2 raids in the cartel-ridden northern state of Sinaloa. Again, it's the largest seizure of fentanyl pills ever made. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum announced herself Thursday morning during a press conference, adding that the amount seized surpasses 20 million doses. Think about it. She says the consumption of a person addicted to fentanyl over the course of a year is like a packet of sugar. Think about a ton of fentanyl. We're talking about more than 20 million doses. Yeah, honey, we know what this means. We're talking about you could have always gone in and done this, but you didn't. Here's where the question comes in here, though. 2 things. Number 1, Joe Biden could have done this at any point during the 4 years easily. And it also shows that Claudia Sheinbaum could have done it, too. What does this mean? 1 of 2 things. These drugs are either deliberately moved at with the knowledge and maybe the approval of the Democrat Party into the United States of America, or they're tolerated. Remember from earlier in the week, the article that we had that the Sinaloa cartel is actually the same cartel that in 2014, Fox News reported the DEA and the FBI had cut a deal with. They would allow them to bring in as much drugs and human beings as they wanted, as long as they informed on other cartel members. They also gave them an ungodly amount of guns and other military and defensive equipment, which I called BS on. Any cartel in their right mind will turn over all of their competitors for free. They want us to round them up. So to me, folks, the fact that within less than a week, Mexico can go seize this amount of fentanyl tells me they always could. This is the way the liberal elites in both Mexico and the U.S. want it. And this is how easy it always was to stop it. It's kind of scandalous if you think of it. Insane thing number 1. Finally, insane thing number 1 has got to be Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor comparing chopping little boys' penises off to taking an aspirin. And she was uppity about it, too. To properly set this up, you've got to pull out this, the largest ever study of children who claim to be transgender. It's a Dutch study, and it found that 11% of kids struggle with their gender identity early in adolescence. Got that? 11%. But by age of 26, the same study found only 4% do, meaning well over half of kids who in their early teen years think, hey, I might, you know, be transgender. By 26, they're like, nah, I'll keep my genitals and my boobs. They're fine. I'll keep them. Which led the Tennessee solicitor arguing before the Supreme Court that Tennessee ought to be able to keep its law banning gender transition surgery and puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for minors on the books. The law shouldn't be swept away by the Supreme Court. And he pointed out, look, there are going to be kids left permanently maimed and infertile, who then want to transition back to the sex they were or were born as.
Cannot eliminate the risk of detransitioners. So it becomes a pure exercise of weighing benefits versus risk. And the question of how many minors have to have their bodies irreparably harmed for unproven benefits is one that is best left.
I'm sorry, counselor. Every medical treatment has a risk. Even taking aspirin. There is always going to be a percentage of the population under any medical treatment that's going to suffer a harm.
So if more than half the kids who think they're transgender are permanently maimed, that's okay. And understand, they are permanently maimed. Here's Chloe Cole, 19-year-old detransitioner that was maimed in exactly that way. Before I play you this clip, you should know this about Chloe. The testosterone shots she started taking at 13 have permanently destroyed one of her two ovaries. She'll never get pregnant on that side. And the other one barely functions. They're not sure if she'll be able to produce children out of it or not. They'll just have to wait and see if it can recover function. They don't know, she testified. Here again, she's only 19.
When I was 13, I had my first testosterone injection. This caused permanent changes to my body. My voice will forever be deeper, my jawline sharper, my nose longer, my bone structure permanently masculinized, my Adam's apple more prominent, my fertility unknown. I had a double mastectomy at 15. After my breasts were taken away from me, the tissue was incinerated.
Yeah, just like the side effects from it.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.